Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.musglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action. Their final league match before Christmas. An away trip to in-form Aston Villa. I think it's Villa have won their last 9 or 10 games in all competitions. And I think it's about 6 or 7 in the Premier League. They had a slow start, but if you start winning games the way this league is set up, Aston Villa are up there in the title race. Both City and Arsenal both won yesterday. So for Villa, this is a huge game. It's a huge game for Manchester United. It always is. Any game for Manchester United. And after the fun, apparently, as was mentioned by Ruben Amorim, game against Bournemouth, it's another match where United have just basically thrown away the points that they basically didn't have locked down, but had accrued, and issues again with the midfield. I know there are issues with the defence, and people will say, well, the defenders should be doing better. It's harder to do a defensive job when you've got nobody in midfield actually protecting you at all. I mean, obviously people will speak around the system, and I've spoken around that, the fact that we don't have the sort of midfielders that are required for the type of for the system that Amorim wants to play, especially when you keep playing Bruno Fernandes in there. And I mean, Casemiro's too slow. Funnily enough, he is suspended today. Ugarte comes in his place. I mean, the rumour was that Kobbie Mainoo was gonna come in, but apparently he's got an injury in training yesterday, so he doesn't come in. But I mean, I would have had him in the if he was fit. I would have had him in the midfield with Ugarte, and then I would have had the Bruno Fernandes as one of the tens. But the manager has sought to still play Bruno Fernandes in that number, in that midfield slot. So let's hope the defenders can defend better. We were really missing De Ligt in that central branch. Heaven will go in there. To be fair, I think Heaven's actually done a reasonable job, but it's a job that he probably isn't sort of in the team to really do. I think he's more likely to play on the left-hand side of the defence. But the team as follows: it's Lemenz in goal. Obviously, we've got the AFCON, so United do lose Ahmad and Mbeumo, but that's not an excuse. You know when the AFCON is, you know which players are likely to be going to the AFCON, so you have to deal with that and be prepared. So it's Dalot on the right hand as the wide player, and Dorgu the wide left. Say Shaw, Yoro, and Heaven as the three set of as the three in the middle. Then you've got Bruno Fernandes and Ugarte, and then the three up front will be Sesko. Sesko's first start since before the Spurs game. He started against Forest, came off the bench against Spurs, but then had this injury, so he comes in. And then it's Cunha and Mason Mount as the number 10s. And I mean, hopefully with Sesko, we'll be getting a load of crosses in, like we did when Xerxes was in that position, because you would hope Sesko, 6'5", big, strong, strong physique. He can get up for those headers, but we'll see how things go in the match. I'm currently on the walk to my friend Linda's. I'm running a little bit late, so I'm having to, put my foot down and walk a little bit faster. It's not the leisurely walk that I like to have. But, because you've got to get there before kickoff. Plus, I did semi-plan to get the bus as well, but I missed it. So, I had to get a stomp on to get there. Villa Park is a ground that United love to play at. They've won numerous FA Cup semi-finals there. As I mentioned in the previous pod, I think it's probably Goodison. Obviously, Goodison isn't where United will play this season when they play Everton. But Villa Park, I'd say Goodison, were the two away grounds that United had most success of, especially in the Premier League era. So I think they've lost only twice, I think, there. In the Premier League era, but one of them was Unai Emery's first match a couple of seasons ago. I mean, last year's was basically just a dull 0-0 where we just went to shut the game down. But I'd say the one sort of positive from the Bournemouth game is that we look like we're creating and being able to score goals. So if we do go a goal down, and then, you know, people will say, how can United beat Villa with the form that Villa were on? But remember, A beats B, B beats C. It doesn't mean that C beats A. I mentioned that before the Crystal Palace game, where United did get a decent away result. An awful first half, but they came back in the second half. So I think part of that was Palace tiredness from the Thursday night. Villa didn't play on Thursday night, so United need to be on it right from the off. As I say, Villa's last match was home match was against Arsenal. They got a good result coming from behind against West Ham. I think they came from behind twice against West Ham, I think. Well, they won it 3-2 anyway. A team that United couldn't see the game out against. So, you know, as I say, in footballing parlance, you'd think, oh, well, Villa have to win. But as we all know, if football worked like that, then life would be simple. I mean, if sport worked like that, then a weakened Australian team in every single test wouldn't batter England 3-0. But I suppose arrogance and confidence at, in Australia, fine balance. And they got it horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. But anyway, yeah, the joys of listening to the first plays of the test match on Boxing Day, on Christmas Day night, as it will be here. Yeah, it's just not going to be the same. The Ashes are done. But anyway, I will be back post-match with my thoughts. I need to focus on getting to Linders in time for kick-off. So, yeah, post-match, my thoughts. And let's hope Manchester United can sort of, you know, bring in the Christmas period with a victory. We'll see. Oh, and just sort of one sort of final thing. I mean, see, the January transfer window's coming up. United 100% need to buy a midfielder. I mean, I know there's talk of Semenyo on his buyout clause, and he'd be a fantastic player for Manchester United to buy. But if they do have 65 million loitering around, they need to be looking at midfield options, whether it be on loan or a permanent deal. You're essentially are down to the bare bones of the midfield today, and Bruno Fernandes isn't a midfielder and has been poor in that position this season, and so that means you're left with Ugarte, who struggled this season. Casemiro, who, let's be honest, is capable at times but is too slow, and I think he's more bothered about the World Cup. But to be honest, you can say that about a number of players across world football, but especially at Manchester United. And obviously Mainoo, we don't know what's going on there with that, and obviously his injury today, as reported by the club, means that he doesn't get the opportunity. But they did say it was a small injury, so I don't know what that actually means. But anyway, he's not even in the squad today, so he's no use to the team today. So maybe hopefully he'll be back for the Newcastle game on Boxing Day, because United need midfield reinforcements. And as I say, in the January transfer window, means buying one right at the start of the January transfer window. Jason, Sir Rat, and Omar. So, all over at Villa Park, it's finished. Aston Villa 2, Manchester United 1. Two wonder goals. Well, the first one was dead in one goal. It's a fantastic finish from Morgan Rogers. United are of their own problems and end of the defeat in a match where they actually played pretty well. But the thing is, it means nothing when you can't play well against Everton, when you cannot play well against the poor West Ham, we're poor too. When you cannot turn up and see them out against both sides, where you create loads of chances in the first half and don't create your opportunity. Even though we had a really good game, your head, and it's that difference. It is between winning and losing, and having players stepping up to the plate when they need to, when it is required for the team. I mean, getting into the game, to be fair, I mean, obviously, I'm like that mission, and I've talked about the midfield, big issues in the midfield, but goals today weren't down to the midfield, they were just down to poor defending, to be perfectly honest. The midfielder, he tweaks it a little bit, Amorim. He still played the 3-4-3, but he had one of the 10s tuck it in to help with the midfield, which obviously, so on occasion, it made it like a three-man midfield, or having that extra body in there, which didn't allow Aston Villa, who, as I say, it was actually six games on the bounce, obviously now seven, because they've won in the league. Nine in a row, but it's now obviously 10 in a row after winning this game. It didn't allow them to break through. They struggled to actually break through the Manchester United midfield, apart from early on in the game where United lost the ball on occasions easily in midfield, and they broke through a couple of times with Ollie Watkins, and then a breakout which led to a John McGinn shot, good save from Le Mans, and Aidan Heaven who had done well against Ollie Watkins with the previous opportunity. So those were sort of the only real two times at the start, sort of within the game, that didn't show some wonder football for Morgan Rodgers. Aston Villa actually broke throughout the actual whole game early on in the match. United sort of settled down, couldn't you? Had an opportunity from a long range effort. Villa did have a nice little flick from Morgan Rodgers from a corner, but United essentially defended the corners pretty well throughout the game. But Sesko had an opportunity, good save from Emi Martinez, and then he had another chance, but just a heavy touch when he's trying to get around the goalkeeper. But then Villa took the lead. It was a long ball up the pitch, and it's just, you know, you're always a young player, but it's laziness. Basically, the ball was hit long. Rodgers managed to keep it in. Yoro was just jogging at this point. And then he allowed Rodgers to get a cold ball and run towards the box. And he didn't sprint to shut him down. Rodgers cut inside. Brilliant finish. Outstanding finish. But United could have stopped that. They could have got tight to him. Could have got tight to him in the first place. Then from the sprint. And Rodgers had done that previously, about a few minutes before, but from further out, where he cut in, and he's got that extra bit of pace to just make that little bit of space for himself. It was a longer shot previously that he didn't quite catch hold of, and that was just in the last 5 minutes of the first half. United were unfortunate to be behind at that stage, but that is how football works. You can play well, but you need to take opportunities when they come towards you. Bruno Fernandes had a shot that had been blocked. This is after he got injured. It looks like it's his hamstring, but it looks like he decides when he comes on and off the pitch. This is the problem at the football club. Who's in charge? It was clear he was injured. It was clear there was an issue. And it wasn't necessarily that there was any fault around the goal, but United were playing with 10 and a half men, if that. And decisions need to be made. You go down. You go down and you stay injured. Or, because if you don't do that and you can see the goal, there can be issues, but he should have been taken off. It was clear he wasn't going to come back on for the second half. You know, I did actually get an equaliser at the end of the first half. Cash caught in possession by Dorgu, and then a brilliant finish from Cunha. You know, a harder finish than the one in the second half, which I will talk about. It was a brilliant finish. Sort of here, Dorgu got the touch in, and then he was sort of on a wide angle, but he put it past Martinez expertly for the equaliser. United did deserve that equaliser. I think a draw at half-time would have been, you know, a fair result in regards of how the play had gone. I mean, some people might say Manchester with marginally the better side. But in football, you have to take your opportunities when they come. And as I say, the quality of Morgan Rodgers' finish was outstanding. But Lenny Yoro should be doing better. The defence should be doing better. And coming to the second half, Martinez actually came on for Bruno Fernandes and played in midfield, and he was doing really well. He was nipping in. He had one of his blaster shots, like a bluter, like he had against Fulham. Unfortunately, this time he didn't go into the back of the net. But United not seemed in control of the game. But Villa weren't doing very much to put them under pressure. Then a ball down the side, Tielemans, Dalot, who apparently, well, I don't know this because we couldn't work out who was captain, but Ahmad, we think maybe it was Dalot because he came out and did the interview after the match. Dalot from the leadership team, as I say, the manager is picking of who should be in the leadership team. This is a leaderless team, full stop, which is part of the problem. And, you know, with Bruno being out, hopefully you'll get some players stepping up. Because as I say, it's like, oh, Bruno Fernandes is injured. United are screwed over. They're not screwed over if other players decide to actually step up to the plate. I mean, even Mason Mount played pretty well without Bruno Fernandes on the pitch. That doesn't mean, you know, Bruno Fernandes is missed. But what you do is players don't think to themselves, oh, well, I'll just let Bruno do everything. You have to step up. You should be doing that anyway. But as I say, we're weak, the weak mentality of these players, the excuses, it's never their fault. You know, there's lots of issues at the club and players, management, ownership. There's lots of issues. But Villa, as I say, broke up. Tielemans, Dalot didn't stop the cross. Shouldn't be stopping the cross. Heaven got caught out by Watkins, got in ahead of him. And then Yoro was caught in his haunches. So Morgan Rodgers, again, another brilliant finish. No chance for Le Mans. Smashed into the corner of the net. 2-1 to Aston Villa. And United started the second half really strongly. But the thing is, you have to, again, it's about this taking the opportunity. Man United, when they were in the pomp, they were showing the poor Scholes goal. Just ridiculous from the corner. But that was a game that Villa, not just with dominating that, but Villa were playing well in that match. But United took their opportunity when it came. They ended up winning 3-0 in that match. And that's what you have to do. And Villa, at the moment, things are working out. It's going well for them. But United matched them. They matched them in this game. And, you know, with regards to some of the performances they have been put, I mean, the Everton and the West Ham performance, shocking. You know, you think to yourself, and as I say, it was this little tweak to just basically stop Aston Villa's midfield from swamping Manchester United. Obviously now, that's something, will we see Amorim do that again? Obviously, Bruno Fernandes probably won't be there. But United did have a brilliant opportunity. Great cross from Dorgu. How can you miss? It's utterly ridiculous. I mean, post-match, Roy Keane, who clearly, like Gary Neville, doesn't like certain players. I mean, Kelly Kane said about, couldn't you be in a Man United superstar? Man United superstars put in simple headers from 6 yards out, I can tell you that now. And then, you know, if it gets to 2-2, which it should have been, who knows whether they could have still lost the match. It's a long time still to go. But those kinds of opportunities have to be taken. They have to be taken. And it's quite funny that Roy Keane criticised to some extent, although he did criticise Cundy for missing, it's ridiculous to miss, Sesko for missing his opportunity. Cundy's got, he's got to put it in the back of the net. You just watch it. It's a basic, simple header. But as I say, United sometimes have too many players when it really, really matters, they'll step up. I think Cundy still had a good game, but it's those key moments. Morgan Rodgers, you watch him in the match, he did, you know, 3, 4, 5 things. But two of those things were the two massive goals. Cundy did a lot more. He was doing 9, 10, 11 things. Brilliant link-up play. Brilliant runs. But the key difference is Rodgers puts a ball in the back of the net twice. Outstandingly, especially with the first one, Cundy misses one of the sitters of the season. And, you know, as I say, the manager tweaked things today. And they say he didn't tweak the system. I didn't change the system, but just tweaked where players and the positions that players go. Maybe that's going to have to be something he's going to have to do. But although they are running out of midfielders now, which is a bit of a problem because Bruno Fernandes is injured, Maidu's injured. Don't know what the situation with Maidu, but you can't imagine they're going to be fit for the Newcastle game. Obviously, Casemiro comes back. Ugarte did reasonably well, but at the end of the day, he got booked and he got subbed. So that's ever good luck. Jack Fletcher did come on. Shay Lacy came on. He had an opportunity late on. He had a shot of goal, which I thought fantastic. One touch, shoot. Is anything could all have just come on, you know, we need players who are actually going to do that instead of sort of waiting and pottering around. But as I say, the fact is United lost. They lost the game even though they played well. And that's not a good thing. You're better off playing like Villa did. Not that Villa played badly, but doing just enough, but having that extra bit of quality. And as I say, United could have got something out of the game. He should have got something out of that game. But then, as I say, Everton at home, a disgusting performance. West Ham at home, a shocking performance. Bournemouth at home, not good enough because you put yourself in the position to win the game and play really well in the first half. Losing matches when you're playing well, this is a tight league. Could United drop down the table? They could do. And we better tell you, after Friday, we could be back into sort of manager Sacre territory because after Newcastle, it's Wolves, Leeds and Burnley. So the side who can't win a match in the Premier League. And then the two Mabota sides away from home. And all the pressure will be on Manchester United. But obviously, they need to at least perform like they did again. If they do perform regularly like they do against Villa, they should be okay as long as they can put their chances away. But, I mean, that's all things. I mean, the biggest risk, as I say, is De Ligt. We've got issues in Divock Origi. He's going to have to play through it. He's going to have to play through these issues. Because we haven't got anybody else. We ain't putting Tyler Fredrickson in there. So he's gonna have to play through this. But all I see is like, oh, look at all the players United have out. That is an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment. Oh, injuries in AFCON. Oh, Well, you deal with it. You deal with it, and that is part of the problem with Manchester United, the mentality of players who now have the opportunity. And this is the thing. Mason Mount did reasonably well in the second half, better than I thought he may do. Step up now. Step up to the plate, couldn't you? We don't say he did have a good game, apart from that shocking miss. Time to step up to the plate. Ugarte's going to get opportunities. Time to step up to the plate and do the job and be ready to step up for the football club and have the right mentality. Diogo Dalo is a... Well, if he was the captain, well, I'll definitely know he's going to be the captain in the next match because they'll lead the team out. If it's Diogo Dalo, again, that's on the man. I mean, come on. He shouldn't be... What does he lead, as I say? He's had a reasonably good the last five games, but he was partly at fault for the goal, for the second goal. Just not doing the basics, getting tight and making sure crosses do not come in the first place and you clear the ball away. But yeah, that's where we're at. United, another defeat. Two defeats in nine, but load of draws in there and some shocking performances as well. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.musaglobal.co.uk. Up on various podcast platforms, just to Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Pcast, Podchaser. Search MUSA Global for your favourite search engine and it will pop up. So, next up is Newcastle at Old Trafford on Boxing Day. They played around Christmas last year and got basically Newcastle completely dominated them. Xerxes got subbed off after 30 odd minutes. It needs to be a better performance than that, and it needs. It'll be interesting to see if he tweaks things similarly, because obviously there's going to be no Bruno Fernandes, you would expect. So Casemiro back, probably Ugarte, Casemiro. He's got to play Cunha, and he probably has to play Mason Mount. No Mbeumo, no Ahmad. So we'll see. As I say, it was positive to see Dorgu having a reasonably good game because we haven't got any other sort of wing-backs, I don't think, who could play that position. So we need them to stay fit and to keep performing. And if we can put in crosses like he did for Cunha, maybe onto the head of Sesko. I thought Sesko had a decent enough game, but obviously he missed that one opportunity and then just couldn't sort of get the best touch. So it'll be, but he needs to score goals. So he is a striker, and you are putting the pressure. Zitz came on, did reasonably. So, but again, this is it. I've said reasonable a lot, and that is part of the problem at Old Trafford. Things being reasonable, the standards through the floor, and the acceptance of those standards, especially by the people that apparently run the football club, even though they know nothing about football well. Well, I say Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada, but the guy above them and the people that he's basically got his head up the backside of, the scum parasite Glazers. But anyway, that's Servat, by the way, who's got his head up the backside, just in case you weren't aware. But anyway, United need to push on. But at least, look, in terms of merry cheer, at least they've got a positive goal difference. That can go quite quickly, though, as we have seen. But as I say, defensively, the way they're defending, could easily go quite quickly. So, as always, thanks for listening. Have a very Merry Christmas to everybody. I will be back post-Christmas on Boxing Day after the Newcastle game. Let's see what happens then. And as always, thanks for listening.